This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
And for the record, we have put out a request to Lauryn Hill to record and change the words of the song to Keeling Me Softly. So far, kind of a shocker here. No word back. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. We're waiting. We'll see. We have our people in contact with her, Sean.
Well, that's good. Is she going to coach CSU?
You know what? She might get a vote. She might get a vote or two. Listen, Sean, I don't even know who's calling the plays again. We got run game coordinator, pass game coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach coordinator. There's a lot of coordination going on with this team,
it just got weird. It's a pass game guy. I thought. Yeah. I was there Monday.
Yeah, very interesting. Let me ask this, man. Your thoughts on Jay Norvell getting the boot before the boot after the Hawaii loss?
Well, I mean, it was a matter of time. I mean, you're sad. I mean, if I understand Rams fans and CSU alumni's dissatisfaction with where this had gone. But let me tell you this. Anyone who has met or knows Jay Norvell is not dancing on his grave.
Yeah, you know, true, 100%.
Like this, and especially folks in the media, they and not just because, even before the prime effect and all that happened, they really went out of their way to work with us. Yeah, I know you and with Denver, there was a lot of media outreach, full disclosure, and maybe that was just getting aggressive, to try to get some good PR in advance. But it was such a breath of fresh air from Daz and even a little bit from Bobo, it's a results business. It's the business side of the education game, and business wasn't good, and promises were not kept for whatever reason. And we've talked about them. BFN's no longer with the team. It's kind of general. We were going to get there. I mean, there's just so many layers to this. It's kind of an onion as to where this all fell apart, but sources have told me it was pretty clear that short of an 8 or 9 win season, this was going to happen. And it's just kind of sad the way that it unfolded, because it never really got up. Maybe one week, other than one game against Fresno, it never really got untracked, and it just felt wrong from about the fourth quarter of the Washington game on.
Yeah, I mean, and the Fresno State game was just so fascinating because they looked like a completely different team.
Yep.
And I think all of us were like, is that it? Or is that just a bad team catches a break, gets everything right? Fresno State maybe a little overhyped at this point because of the 5-game winning streak. So all those things obviously turned out to be true as they kind of get smoked by Hawaii. Made it interesting, but for the most part, it wasn't that close.
And I wrote about this, and I'm sure others have talked about it too. And there were layers to that Hawaii game. The crowd. You and I have talked about this for a year. You can't keep not showing up when your fans do. Like, you just cannot. You cannot do that. Especially at a place where they have to fill, again, the business side of the education game. They have to fill Canvas. And I think found the record 30,000, 31,000 plus since Jay's been there. They're 5-7. It's actually, I asked people to guess that number. Like, what do you think the record would be of those 12 games? And most people go like, 3-9, 4-8. But that it's even guessed worse than it really is.
It's the perception,
The perception is that they biffed it against CU, obviously. And yet there were some good ones too. Boise had that crowd. It's just that nobody was there. Except it was like media outnumbered Rams fans at the end of that game because of the way it finished. And I'll never forget that. And that ends up being kind of, gosh, one of the highlights of that. But you can't lay stinkers. You know, people, teams are going to have stinkers. You can't lay them at home. You can't lay them against your rivals. You can't lay them against big crowds. And Hawaii looked like we thought the Rams were going to look like 4 years ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, well, you watched, yeah, Alejandro and went, where'd they get this guy? They're going, well, the Rams don't have, a little some disrespect to Jackson Brousseau. God love him, but he's not as good a passer as that guy. That kid's better. That speed is better. That offense was better. And there were some mitigating factors. There were some injuries, but I think in a way, we combine that with the crowd and the homecoming and the performance. It was a pretty sad epitaph, but I think it was an epitaph that was inevitable.
Yeah, I just can't help but going back through everything, and I go right to the quarterback situation, and that was,
yeah.
And I was close to the situation because we did the Clay Millen show.
And franchise QB number one.
Yeah, and that, you know, every conversation I had with him, you know, was like, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm going to be the guy. You know, we got a great relationship, and then obviously the first year was what it was. It was not great, but you know, he had a high completion percentage. And then
it was a bad O line. He was young.
Yeah,
year one. Everyone's kind of went, okay, it happened.
Yeah, and Sean, what bothered me about that, and I'm not. Everybody always says I'm defending Clay Millen. I'm defending the timing, because what bothered me about that, it was the first game of the next season, and it was against Washington State. And he all off season was like, oh, he's developing this relationship with all these receivers and tight ends and Dallin Holker and all that. And then he got one half and a possession of that season before Jay Norvell pulled the plug. And then BFN got time after time after time after time after time. And I go to, well, there was one guy Jay Norvell told the world that was poaching his guy. And there was one guy he didn't say anything like that about. So which one is he going to go with? To me, the ego got in the way. Not when it came to Clay Millen, but when it came to BFN. And that bothered me. That was inconsistent.
Yeah, it was. Jay put his chips in that on that number, and he got burned. And for there are multiple things you've heard, I've heard off the record about what's happened with Braden these last couple of years. I did nothing against him personally. Now that chapter is clearly done here, I wish him well, wish the family well. You know, now in a transactional free agent college football world, that's going to happen more and more and more when things don't work out. It didn't work out. But Jay rode that horse, and it threw him off.
Yeah.
It's not more than one guy, but if you had to pick one guy, it's BFN. It just never... It never got better from Boulder 2023. It came on fire. The Clay's treatment. I know folks in Clay's camp too. I know BFN's dad. I know Clay's dad. It's a little weird. It was a very interesting time. Let's put it that way, as I know you know as well. But it never got better. And in a way, didn't what we just saw this season with Braden almost mirror what we saw in 2023 with Clay?
Yeah.
Like at the start of all this, and then he held out a little longer because what BFN ultimately did, I certainly would not presume this was malice, was that it affected Jay Norvell's credibility. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Like that's the point where we went, this is the guy, this is going to be our guy, it's going to be the guy, and it sounds like Keeler, you just said it's not one person, and you were just heaping it on one person. But the perception, like you said, the perception of that really affects you. And if that narrative had been different, would we be having this talk right now? Although I go back to, you go back to 2023 again. I go back to, if that's a bowl team and or that's a team that beats a still kind of developing Buffs Deion team on that stage in that moment, I'm not sure we're having this talk.
I tend to agree. Yeah.
I don't go back to year three. People get so kind of grouchy about last year and that, yeah, it was the softest schedule imaginable. It was a really, really soft Mountain West. It's kind of like Fresno this year, to be frank, as we saw. And they took advantage of it, not quite as much. I was most disappointed as a neutral, and you know, I have no dog in any of these fights. With 2023, that you had the best offensive player in the league, and you had the best defensive player in the league healthy. Mo Kamara was really good. we forget that because he was not a prototypical NFL edge guy. Torrey Horton was, and Torrey Horton was healthy. And BFN was so young and so relatively new that they just didn't get over the hump in those road games. And you and I talked about it. Like, you hope this, you know, it was a step forward, but it wasn't monumental. But if that's a 7-5 team, which on talent it should have been, they're the only team bowling. Because CU is going to go off the rails 2 years ago. That was always going to happen because of where they were internally, and everything just got weird there, obviously, for reasons we've talked about in the middle of Deion's first year. That they had a chance to seize, CSU had a chance to seize us, our discussion points, the market, the interest, the credibility, and they never did. And they got some of that back in year three, and it was a good year. I mean, I always laughed, not laughed, but you just kind of shook your head writing about the end of the Jay era and looking at all the first time since that happened last year, which in hindsight was more of an indictment of the last decade of CSU football, frankly, that had, you know, the sweep of the in-state, the Mountain West rivals, whatever, first time since 2015, first win Air Force forever. It all kind of came with asterisk, but it still happened. But I think, again, the confluence of the QB, the offense, the big games, and the feeling that there wasn't a lot of credibility with this coaching staff, right or wrong, the perception, again, to use your word, that there wasn't a lot of credibility with the fan base. And frankly, the third or fourth thing, we lose count of why we got to this moment, was the Pac-12 move of having to say, what are we when we're making maybe the last big step we're going to make? And it's not even, frankly, that big, to be honest. But let's be clear. It's a Pac-12 in name. It's not a Pac-12 in gravitas.
Yeah.
Anything that doesn't have UCLA, Washington, Oregon, is not really the Pac-12. It's just there for legal purposes. But it's better. The best of the Mountain West are moving on, right? And you've got to be, either way, what we all can agree on, and I know this is a long-winded point, is that CSU football has to be as good as it's ever been. It has to be better. And what it was with Jay Norvell is that it was clearly better from 2020, 2021. The off-field community stuff was miles better. But was it top three in the Pac-12 better? And if this was still even a 6-6 team, where do you think, and this is a question I'll throw back to you and shut up, where do you think this team will finish in the Pac-12 with those 8 schools next year?
Based on what, like right now?
What we've got, yeah. Right now.
Boy, I don't. I would say not very good at this
fourth
point.
Fourth or fifth? Best?
Best, yeah.
Best.
Yeah,
and
best.
That's also why this happened. Now, you have a changeover where now that's going to be, you have you're starting over again, which I don't know that they wanted to do, but that's also an underlying thing. Yeah. And sixth or seventh in that league is not going to look good, and it's going to validate all the arguments against why you've never been plucked by, say, the Big 12.
Yeah, and I guess Oregon State, they're obviously now looking for a coach.
Yeah, they're starting over too.
Washington State would be better, I would say, than CSU. Boyce State would be better. Fresno
Oregon
State would be better.
Oregon State's got more money.
They got more money.
I think there's only, although I'm not, the CSU budget's not bad.
Yeah.
There are three of just surface where you go, well, Boise, Wazoo, Oregon State.
Yep.
And then it's a crapshoot.
Yep.
But yeah, you can argue with Fresno. You can argue with Fresno, SDSU with the new stadium. A little bit. Utah State might be dragging behind those two. And Texas State, we kind of don't know as well. But Texas is Texas. So it's a bit of a muddle for those other four through eight, three through eight, whatever you want to call it. But I don't. It's going to be different, and I don't know that that's good enough. You know what I thought about the other day? And you're, God, Keeler, you just yamble.
No, it's good. It's good.
This is therapy for me. I'm getting through the CSU, because we're going to spin it forward. Where do you go from here? I'm going to jump. I'm jumping your question, Brady. Where do we go from here? where do we go next? And I said, well, Colin Klein would be great. Several people have told me they really, really want a Deion of their own.
Who is that? You know?
Yeah, who is that? As I wrote Monday, there's only one of him. Because I thought that too. And we've talked about it. I'm like, you got to go get, you know, we in the press box at Fresno. Somebody joked to me about, go get Tim Tebow. And I just laughed. But I kind of laughed at the Deion thing 4 years ago. I kind of went, that'll never happen. So, again, giving credit to Coach Prime, I no longer say never and laugh about things like this anymore. Because I said, you know, and we just laughed and went, well, if you hired the best offense, all you had to do was CEO duties and selling duties. And I went, yeah, all the TV stations in Denver would be here every 5 minutes. Like, they would come running. Like, if you wanted to do that, like, who cares if he hasn't coached? But most of the celebrity hires have not gone great, or they're kind of a TBD. And the CU era is better, but it's not great. It's raking bucks. It's doing the PR thing right. So,
well, and Sean, too, like with Coach Prime, I mean, he at least had the backing of, okay, he did it at a lower level. He coached.
Yeah, he got to understand it.
I'm seeing Mike Shanahan. I'm seeing Gruden. I'm seeing Tebow.
Right.
I'm seeing all these names. And I'm like, well, Shanahan's been out for 465 years, it feels like. Plus, he didn't have the college experience. And even if you want to say a guy did 15 years ago had college experience, it ain't the same thing anymore.
I'd be really surprised. Again, we're in the never say never. I mean, you bring up Shanahan. I don't think that's going to get him out of retirement. And I don't know him well, but I knew we had mutual friends, some of them who are no longer with us. I don't think CSU is that job.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a point also where money, you know, someone like Billy Napier, although he totally didn't love it here, would be interesting and maybe more of a candidate. You need a redemption guy. You know, if you're going to make a splash, you need a name. Hey, what's Rick Neuheisel doing? What's Rick Neuheisel's kid doing? You know, you want the hottest thing of the moment? That's one. And that probably wouldn't cost you a lot of money. It's a tricky needle to thread if you're CSU going forward and you want the biggest splash possible when you don't have any money. You know what I mean? Like, that's where UNC and CU could simply hand over, as Rick George has admitted, he overcharged the credit card. He just went, here you go. We have to do this because nothing has really worked. And I think CSU isn't that dissimilar in that way, in that Jay was an 8-5 coach in Nevada who eventually gave you an 8-5 team and people weren't happy. So I don't know that you're going to do better than that for the dollars. I was going to say also that the other parallel I keep, this is baseball guy talking, the CSU job to me, and see what you think of this before, I'm going to test this live on air before I ever write it. It's kind of like the San Diego Padres job. Like, the incidentals are there, but they keep changing guys and they never quite get over the hump. I don't know if that's a perfect parallel.
Kind of, yeah. I go there with you.
Boise is kind of the Dodgers, and they just never move. The Rams are the Padres. They're like that new money, great ballpark, great this, great fan base. But like, it just never quite gets there, no matter how hard you try. So I don't know. That was just me looking at the World Series and kind of laughing at it. But I don't know.
It's all very fascinating, and I always use this word, I overuse it, Sean, but I just said, when things start to feel or look or sound clunky, you got a bad situation. And I think Jay Norvell had a few of those things over the last 2 years especially, but I didn't like the Clay Millen thing, that I just felt were clunky. I thought the offseason, like, is Matt Mumme the OC? Oh, maybe he is. Nah, I'm not ready to give that up yet, but we'll throw him a bone. You're the pass coordinator. Oh, crap, I did that for him. I got to do that for Bill Best. You're the run game coordinator, but I'm still the guy. And then I'm not the guy, but then whatever. So that kind of stuff kind of just tells the tale sometimes. Keeler, yeah, go ahead.
Do we got to run? No,
yeah, we got to run.
We could do days. You don't need commercials.
I need more. We'll just start getting you on earlier.
They did stuff the last 5 weeks they should have done 2 years ago, right? Like, it just became a desperation thing, and it's too bad. It's a nice man. It's a nice family. He's out of work. He's going to find work. He's going to be fine. And I'm really more fascinated and concerned where CSU goes from here.
I am too, man. Great work from you. I know we didn't even get into the Aaron Gordon stuff, but you know my feelings. The most important nugget, the best trade ever in Colorado sports history, Sean.
Yeah. It might be one of the best trades in Nuggets history. Best one of them
in the world.
It's
probably the best trade in the world, Sean. Maybe in the universe, if we want to get Star Trek-y and Star Wars-y.
You know what? I think you need a commercial. I think you need a commercial.
Keeler, appreciate it, man.
All right. See you, buddy. Thanks, bud.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 41 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.